you know, there's a reservation out there. If you were to go out here on the road and take a right, put you out on the reservoir to Indian Creek Reservoir. And have you ever driven around out here?
Not much.
Yeah,
no,
they don't realize that, you know, I got my own little city out here.
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho businesses, groups, and the locations you always drive by but never seem to visit. I'm Joel Wayne, and this is my co-host, Lacey L.D. Daly.
Hello.
Hello.
We are here. Apologies up front if my voice sounds a little more raw than usual. 'Tis spring, time for allergies.
Mm.
All right, so you are up to nominate a place.
So the place I am nominating this week is the Boise Stage Stop.
Where
it's a truck stop.
Oh.
It's probably about 20 to 30 minutes outside of town heading towards Mountain Home.
Road trip.
Road trip, yes. First time really that we've been kind of leaving
Boise proper.
Boise proper.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just, full disclosure, I've been there before.
Of course.
It was maybe about 2 years ago on our way back from a trip. I just stopped in there. And I've always wanted, like since we started doing this, I've always wanted to stop back by there.
I'm all about a truck stop and a road trip.
Yeah.
It gets me excited because we road tripped a lot as kids, not to really fun destinations, just to visit family in like Iowa. But we would sometimes stop at these busier or bigger truck stops or rest stops or what have you. And I just remember, I don't know, we'd either be stretching our legs or maybe cajoling my dad into buying us candy or something. And you would hear over the loudspeaker, number 11, your shower is ready. And you're like, oh, what? Who showers here?
That's funny because we did the same thing when we would drive. I think it was on our way back from the Oregon coast every year that we would go as a family too. We would stop by a truck stop on the other side of Portland called Kruger's, which is not there anymore. It's gone. But yeah, that was our tradition. And we would stop in, we'd go to the diner, and we'd eat hash browns and gravy. Like, that was our thing.
And it probably wasn't even, like, that great of hash browns and gravy.
We like, looking back, it seems like amazing. It seems like, and we'd talk, like, are you going to get the country gravy or the brown gravy? Like, it was a big discussion point for us. But yeah, it was diner food. I love diner food, but
it was probably just kind of those rhythms of vacation.
Yeah.
Get that.
Yeah, very much so. So maybe it was just kind of capping it off, especially because it was just a long drive. So,
okay. So what about this place? What do you want to know? I'm thinking central concern along those lines.
Yeah. For me, I guess it's these types of places are kind of going the way of the buffalo, honestly. I should say that I worked for a software company for a while that worked in freight logistics. So
Freight logistics. Okay.
So truckers, it worked with brokers, but then it also worked with truck drivers then too on that side. And one of their major concerns year to year is these stops, is having safe parking and having places where they can kind of stop and get a meal. And
A shower,
that type of thing. And they're disappearing. These places are disappearing. So for me, I think I'm interested in seeing how these guys have a really, really long history. I looked on their site. They've been around for over 100 years.
Whoa.
They started in the 1890s.
Huh.
The gay 90s, they call them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so I'm curious how they've been able to kind of stay around that long, especially because these places are closing. And why it's important, I guess. Why they see that, you know, are they providing a service? Why is it important for them to stay around?
Okay.
I don't know.
No, I'm intrigued. It makes me think that they've got to be offering something that appeals to a wider audience, because I can't imagine, well, maybe people do drive through here more than I think, but I know so many people that don't and refuse to. So I just wonder what they've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to get outside of Boise.
Yeah.
I think we should make that clear. We didn't intentionally just stick to Boise. It's just kind of what our commute has been and things that have been points of interest, but we're open to anything.
Yeah, I think that's always been the idea, has been to maybe expand, you know, the radius a little bit and go further outside there. There's a ton of stuff to see.
Oh, now I have so many more ideas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Boise Stage Stop. Coming for you.
All right. Road trip.
All right. We just pulled up.
Just pulled up.
We could see it from the thruway.
The freeway, yes. the freeway. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've not backed into a parking space, so we can just admire the building from the parking lot. Joel, first thoughts. How would you describe this?
Well, there's a smaller building attached to a larger building. And the smaller one, it looks like a restaurant, but it's kind of done up like in a Dutch style or something with a tin roof, yeah. though. So, and then the larger one, it looks like a massive barn, honestly, but also, again, kind of in a Dutch style yeah. or Tudor. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Little architecture here.
There's showers, you know, if you're a truck driver and
napping areas.
Maybe there's napping areas. I don't know. And there is a small movie theater, I believe.
Ooh.
For truck drivers, too.
Okay. And there's trucks. I mean, we looked up in back. There's some semis over there.
There's a lot. We'll have to drive around or walk around a little bit. We're in the front area where there's it's a fuel stop for passenger vehicles. And there's a lot of people. I mean, there's probably 20 cars, 25 cars parked here, mostly trucks. And, they're not fueling up.
It's a Wednesday afternoon.
I don't know if they're
here
eating.
For lunch?
For ham Sammy. Let's go check it out.
Yeah, let's go in.
All right. It does not look like a normal place. You know what I mean? It's not, I don't know, with the street lamps and then just the way that the decor is done and everything, it's just really different.
Yeah. Ooh, he's wearing overalls. That's amazing.
So we walk in right before a middle-aged man in overalls. Joel is taking pictures of this row of, like, fancy streetlights outside. And the guy that we're holding the door for asks if we are taking pictures of bird. So we already know that we need to talk with him more.
Yeah, we came in right to, it's kind of into a convenience store. And there's a big rack of knives with names on them.
Ooh, Natalie.
Jeff, Jared, Jim. I think we can find Lacey.
I never really lucked out with these.
Oh, wait. Nothing doing?
Nope, just L. I'd have to go with L.
Yeah.
Or Jose. Is there a Joel?
I don't have very good luck with Joel. Oh, wow, they do have mine.
I gotta take a picture of that. That's like a biblical name, isn't it?
It is. The Book of Joel. But it's a short book. So yeah, we can pass by the diner here, and then now it's just a bunch of display cases.
Smells like my grandma's house. I'm not kidding.
It's a display cases full of Western jewelry and a lot of leather bags, belt buckles, beadwork. What do you call these?
Am I supposed to know?
For your hair.
Oh, barrettes.
Barrettes. Beadwork barrettes. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah. And weird figurines made out of metal. This one looks like it's from Alien for some reason. Like it's odd because it's right next to that pink leather purse. There's a lot of stuff to look at. Here's another Alien. It's $56 if you need to dip into your savings a little bit. And then on the other side of the wall, there is a whole... there's a whole wall of puzzles.
It seems like a weird thing for like a rest stop, like a road trip. You can't do a puzzle on the road.
Maybe we don't know. Maybe that's something that truck drivers do, is they're doing a lot of puzzles.
Maybe. I mean, I guess it's a solitary activity.
Yeah.
Seems strange, though.
All right, let's keep walking.
So we tour around the store for a little bit before we bump into Bruce, the man in overalls who we held the door for earlier, and he turns out to be a retired truck driver.
I've never been here. We're exploring.
Go up there.
Go up there?
I'm Joel, by the way.
Oh, I'm Bruce.
Hey, Bruce. Meet you.
I'm Lacey.
Hi, Lacey.
Nice to meet
you. Nice to meet you.
So okay. You drove a truck?
40 years.
Where
still
are you
driving.
Based
out of Albany, Oregon.
Oh, okay. I'm from Oregon originally, from Pendleton.
Oh, you live in the snow zone. The rodeo truck is...
yeah. Roundup.
Yeah, I just run small trucks now.
Okay.
I'm retired, just farting around.
So then you live in the area and you just stop by here?
No, whenever I take a fast run to Idaho Falls, just two pieces of metal, to a water treatment place in Idaho Falls.
Okay, I gotcha.
So they wanted it this morning. Oh. I get it at 5 o'clock last night.
Oh.
But they got it this morning.
Yeah, that's over-delivering.
No, that's what I get paid the money for. Yeah, you go upstairs. There's a TV room off the right. No, I can't remember how they did it now. Whether you put a movie in or there's a movie on, or I can't remember.
Yeah.
But if the bathroom's door open, take a look at the bathrooms.
Okay.
They're huge.
Okay.
You got a bathtub on one side, a shower on the other.
Yeah.
What? It seems like people take baths.
Sure.
I guess whatever floats
your boat. I
guess
if you're married, I guess you throw the old lady in the tub and you just go in the shower. I don't know.
Some Epsom salts. I don't know.
Yeah. Shrink her up a little.
Don't you feel like places like this, you just don't see them very much? Like a lot of these places seems like they're closing. You know, the truck stops.
A lot of them are.
Yeah.
And they're going to fast food and it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah,
who wants to sit down at the end of the day and have a McDonald's hamburger?
Right, rather than an actual meal.
That's why I stopped here.
We've never.
But yeah, truck stop restaurants are a thing of the past. Yeah, a lot of them are gone. Even the old mom and pops are gone now.
Yeah. How do you think Boise Stage Stop is able to stay in business, though?
Because it's been known for years and it's good eating.
Bruce chats with us a bit before encouraging us to go upstairs and explore the theater and the bathrooms. So we walk up the stairs and the sound of the movie, it's playing this very dramatic entrance for us.
It's very loud. It's so intense, this music.
Walking up the stairs too.
So there's a popcorn stand here, and right behind you there is laundry services, it looks like.
Oh, wow.
So we pop into the movie theater, and it's playing a war movie very loudly despite all the seats being empty. And for some reason, there's a boat hanging from the ceiling. There's also a tiny glass-walled exercise room with a treadmill and two bikes at the back of the theater. And there's a sign there that's written in cursive saying, "Welcome home, drivers." Then we walk down a long hallway with doors on either side, and each of them lead to a private bathroom with a shower. And we really want to see one. So we find a cleaning woman who agrees to unlock one of the rooms for us.
Ooh. Awesome. Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow, it's very, very spacious. Is that a bidet?
Yeah.
There is a bidet in here.
You didn't even think that was going to
happen. No, I did not.
Oh, look, there's information. Bidet, pronounced bidet, European douche, adjust water, then straddle and enjoy. But yeah, you could take a bubble bath if you want. They've got a stand-up shower stall. Joel just ran into some coat hooks or towel hooks.
We head back downstairs to check out the convenience store and the diner before we meet Kim. She's one of the Stage Stop managers.
So we're an original Stage Stop, 1891. So we used to be across the street, so we're part of the Pony Express. The owners of this place, way back in the day, I believe the original owner that started the Boise Stage Stop, which I don't think it was named that back then, and there used to be a town out here called Regina, and that was the owner's name. They were the Regina family, was killed in a stagecoach robbery. You figure... it's been a truck stop, I'm thinking, close to 45 years, maybe a little bit longer. It hasn't always been named the Boise Stage Stop.
Sure.
It was called Stuckey's at a time before that. And so the owner that has it now, he's owned it for 30 years.
Oh, wow. It seems like places like this, too, particularly truck stops, are closing. There's a lot of places.
Oh, yeah. Closed. I can just tell you, like, for me, my husband is a truck driver.
Oh, okay.
So one of the things that when I started out here as a server, I'm working in my seventh year. It's my seventh year here. And one of the things that he would tell me all the time was how the mom and pop places are just closing.
Yeah.
Well, corporate is taking over. It's so much easier to deal with corporate. Yeah. And you get these big giant, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but when it comes to Loves and TAs and all of that, if you notice, all of them have the fast food, it's get them in, get them out, let's move them on. They're really more travel centers. They're not geared to truck drivers. We are geared to truck drivers, although we are trying to upgrade into that travel center feel for people that are traveling. We want you to come in. I offer dog runs. I offer horse corrals for people that are traveling with horses. I have a giant arena, full-size arena. I have three horse corrals plus three separate dog runs around the place. So we want to also be that travel center, you know, but our originality is a truck stop, and if you look at the wall right up there, it'll tell you, notice all are welcome, but truck drivers are served first. But yeah, if you're going down the road, you'll see, because, you know, the corporate, I can say with all of the new laws and all the things that are coming on truck drivers, they have to hit these places, so many regulations, that it forces that fast food thing. So we, though, I mean, the boys, we just want to stay true to what we are, you know, our goal. We've tried a couple things. You know, we have an old West Town out here. We've done farmers markets. We've done all kinds of stuff out here just trying to see if we could promote business and get us back up on the map. We used to be the number one truck stop in the Northwest. At one point in time, this place, you couldn't get into this place as far as customers out the door to get into the restaurant, all of those kind of things. So, you know, we're long from that again. You know, we're rated in the top 10 restaurants for drivers to eat at. But in that failing, you know, recession and all that, we took a big, this place took a big hit. So now we totally got away from all of the farmers markets and old West towns, and we just want to be a truck stop again. We just want to get back to the root of things, and we're doing really well with it. And surprisingly enough, that has helped us.
I don't know much about truck stop culture or truck driving, but do you then, people have regular routes and they stop in and you have regulars that you know by name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
These guys are so, so they're very, very creatures of habit. So they get to some place, they know the servers. You know, my servers have been here. You've got one that's been here for over 20 years. You got another one working on 15 years. You got another one behind her that's probably got 14 years on it. Yeah, they're very, drivers are creatures of habit. And if they get good service and or they've had good service, they will find their way back here.
What else should we check? Well, I guess what else should we check out? Where else should we?
Well, you know, we own 110 acres. You can wander around anywhere you want.
Yeah, there's a ton of outbuildings too. Is there?
That's all my maintenance shops.
Okay, I was curious about that.
Yeah, I just use it for maintenance. I have, my owner buys me lots of toys. You know, I have a street sweeper. I have a fire truck. I have all kinds of stuff out here. He buys me lots of toys. Ultimately, I run the maintenance. I am the property manager.
We finished chatting with Kim and explore the gift shop, where you can find a very wide variety of items. Panama hats, pajamas, walking sticks, hip flasks, and a decent little wine corner. There's a lot of camo and hunting clothes. LD describes it as stuff to decorate a cabin with. Then we post up in the diner, where we bump into Bruce again, who is very eager to know if we toured the private bathrooms.
We did. We got a woman up there to open it for us so we could see.
You got a little tour.
You have a bidet in there.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you about that part. But I never use those things, though.
Yeah.
I, like, there were instructions. We read them.
We were a little surprised to see that.
Okay.
Hey.
When a woman needs to get clean, a woman needs to get clean.
In case you missed that, Bruce was saying, regarding the bidets, hey, when a woman needs to get clean, a woman needs to get clean. We let Bruce get back to his omelet and then find a booth. And we talk a bit about how we haven't seemed to have the best luck talking to people, even though we seem to be surrounded by them.
Is it because there's, like, so many options that we don't know what to do?
There's options, and then I think, too, it's people who, I think with food stuff, it's always tough. It's tough because you don't want to interrupt someone's meal. I always feel like that's rude, you know? Whereas if we're in a store and you start chatting with someone, or if we want to chat with someone, I don't generally feel, that doesn't feel rude to me, you know? But there's something about people eating, you know? So maybe we do need to, like, we'll have something here, and then maybe we should go out and see if there's some other people.
How's your guys' day going?
Pretty good.
I will do, can I just get hash browns and gravy?
With gravy? Mm-hmm. You mind it?
Yeah. What are my options for pot?
We have apple, blueberry, cherry, peach.
After we order, we cross the diner to take pictures of a collection of horse-drawn wagons. It's really a ruse, because next to the display is this long table of about 10 guys in army fatigues. We then proceed to have the world's most one-sided 90-second conversation with the men in uniform.
You guys come here often?
Not really often.
No.
Just when we're passing through.
Okay. And why do you stop through? Why do you stop here?
To eat.
Yeah.
Then it's back to our table to eat pie and hash browns and gravy before heading back to the front of the stage stop, where we chat with a cashier named Mary.
A lot of people don't know exactly what we have out here, and it's just a nice little spot. There's a little bit of everything for everybody, food or gift-wise.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of truck drivers coming through, right? Mm-hmm. And they're coming from all over the place then.
Oh, too, yes.
Right. But then other people, obviously, who are not driving truck, where are they coming from? Regulars, too, where are they coming
from? Regulars, we have people that come in regularly from Boise. We have people that come in regularly from Mountain Home.
Okay.
There's a little couple that comes in at least twice a week for lunch.
From where? From
Mountain Home.
Oh, okay.
There's one family that comes up from Glen's Ferry.
Yeah, okay.
And then, you know, we get a lot of travelers, vacationers going to and from, and being military, we get a lot of...
Yeah.
You know, being so close to the training base, we get a lot of that. So you get to meet a lot of people from a lot of different varieties of life working here.
Because it's Orchard, right? Orchard and Mayfield? I mean, those are tiny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some people come in from there. You know, we've got milk. You know, you got your basic necessities.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they go to the bigger places for much bigger purchases. But, you know, a lot of them come in here for kitschy little stuff. You know, the Idaho huckleberry stuff.
Right.
You know, and then goat milk and fresh eggs, that kind of thing.
Goat milk, okay.
Yeah. You know, it's not...
You guys sell goat milk?
We don't have any right now, but generally, probably April, May, we'll have more goat milk again. We carry a variety of soaps and lotions made from goat milk.
So, Mary, how long have you worked here?
Here, a year.
But have you known about it longer than that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. When I was a teenager, my dad's cousin worked out here keeping the books. So I've been a regular out here for a really long time. She used to come in and she'd buy me an ice cream cone.
So then where are you from? Where?
I'm from Mount Home.
Okay.
My husband's multi-generational out of there.
Okay.
Yeah, there's five generations of his family alive.
Wow.
We're just trying to figure out what other than truck drivers stopping here for the obvious reasons, what the pull of a place like this is. You know, why do regulars from Mountain Home or Glen's Ferry come here as opposed to, I don't know, their local diner or a Denny's or something? Like, what are they coming here for?
Well, the atmosphere. And the food is amazing if you've ever eaten in here. And portion and quality are just out of this world. You definitely get more than what you pay for.
Yeah.
It's a good-sized deal out here. Something that people can't get just anywhere.
Right.
All right.
Well, I'm good.
We leave the store and take a walk around the property, past rows of semis and gas pumps. We try to talk to a truck driver, but get shut down. And then we're still trying to figure out the stage stop's thing, like the whole orbit of this place, and why we're having such a hard time trying to find it.
I don't know what it is. I really can't put my finger on it. Maybe that's the thing, is that we're not quite in a city. And we're not quite sure where we are. It's not quite this and it's not quite that.
Well, it does. It feels...
It's not Boise. It's not Mountain Home.
First initial impressions before we get back on the road.
It was weird. I could not put my thumb on it in terms of how I felt, what really does draw people to it. The diner seems like that's a big, big part of it. You ordered blueberry pie.
Yeah, I'm all full of pie and coffee in the middle of the afternoon.
How was your pie?
I'm like torn between being nice and being honest. It's somewhere in between those two.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If that helps kind of put that on a spectrum. Initial impressions, it was kind of like a maze at first. We were trying to figure out where we were and what we were missing.
It felt like we were back at Jump, like we kind of said.
Yeah.
So it was like, what's this place?
What is this and what goes here? And that's fine, but I didn't know what I needed to be seeing and who I needed to be talking to. There's people in there the entire time we're in there, coming in and out and staying for lunch, so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sweating. I don't know if it's the pie or the coffee. This really hot car.
The hash browns were good, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, I never asked you, I'm sorry.
I say that, and there was no reason that I should be having hash browns and gravy at like 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, but I did, so.
You did, and it's a fact, and we're going to have no regrets.
Should we head back?
Yeah. My eye is twitching. I don't know. What was in that pie?
All right. Back in the studio after Boise stage stop.
Yeah.
Little road trip.
That's nice.
Yeah. What are your first thoughts here?
It's a maze, I would say, first and foremost. In some ways, it reminded me of Jump. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a diner, a convenience store, gift shop, movie theater, private shower rooms, laundry room, exercise room. And in this case, I guess we didn't have the benefit of a tour guide, so we were just kind of walking around blindly. So I think we didn't have kind of that central pull of this person showing us around. We were kind of trying to find the thing that this place orbits around. What about you?
Well, smaller stuff out of the way first. In trying to make sense of it all, and I don't know, some of the stuff in there I was like really confused about. Remember we saw all those jigsaw puzzles? And I'm like, why is there an entire wall of puzzles? Like, a truck driver is not going to do a puzzle on the road. And there's like purses. And
there's like, yeah, purses and knives and jigsaw puzzles.
And then like a little wine store, like a pretty, what I would think is an extensive collection of wine for a truck stop.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is all of this? But then I started thinking about it like, okay, this is a truck stop for truck drivers. And I was like, oh, well, maybe those things exist. Like, they're buying them as gifts for people, right? They're on the road, yeah, and they're coming home. And so maybe they're buying their kid a puzzle or somebody a knife or a bottle of wine for their wife. Like, if I start thinking about it in terms of, like, this place is meant to cater to truck drivers, then maybe some of this stuff starts to make sense. And so it was kind of like a perspective shift.
Yeah.
Remember that sign that was above kind of the bar and the diner?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, all are welcome, but truck drivers are served first.
Yeah, this is a truck stop. Truck drivers are served first or something like that. Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's actually kind of nice. And if I'm pretending, you know, for a hot second that I'm just a truck driver, like, this is a place that caters to me. And I'm sure that there's not a lot of people that do. And what would I really want if I was a truck driver who spent a lot of time away from home and long hours alone? I think that good food or decent, you know, like a home-cooked meal or something that resembles that and friendly service probably goes a long way for people who do that as a career. And it's probably way preferred over the fast food model of get them in, get them out. And so stuff like this started to turn in my head as I was listening back to some of the audio and just thinking to myself, if I was a truck driver, how I would view a place like this. And as a truck driver, it probably feels just about right. And I bet you a lot of truck drivers would rank that place pretty high on a list.
Sure. Well, and that's what Kim said, too.
Yeah. What about your central concern, then?
Yeah. So my central concern really was about places like this closing, you know?
Yeah.
And what has kept this place going for so long. It has a history. You know, we heard from Kim that it has a history of over, you know, 100 years, although I think it's been a truck stop for 45, 46 years, something like that.
Yeah.
But it seems like Stage Stop, even though it does have that history, it's certainly not immune to that. She mentioned that they didn't know, particularly during the downturn, if they were going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, as trucking stops, so stops Boise Stage Stop.
Oh, my God. I can't even look you in the eyes when you do stuff like that.
but I think they've been able to stay open and stay busy because it seems like they do have that reputation among truckers. They have the loyalty. They treat truckers so well that, like you mentioned, that sign above the diner. And so it seems like as long as trucking is a viable option, Stage Stop kind of wants to be there to serve them. And that seems to be in a lot of different ways. You know, Kim had said that they had tried so many different things over the years,
yeah,
a Western town, a farmer's market, which I'm like still trying to like picture in my head. I feel like that feels so odd out there because it's just a massive, you know, it's a parking lot.
Sell your fresh produce.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but just to think that they're like, they have a marketing plan or something
right,
in terms to help
right.
their business.
But again, it reminded me of Jump in the way that they're trying to figure it out too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And maybe it'll constantly change as trucking inevitably changes.
Yeah.
Final takeaway.
Okay, so to be honest, we left there feeling kind of like, what's going on? How are we supposed to feel about this place? We felt like we weren't getting it, right?
Yeah.
That we were kind of missing out on the thing or the it that makes this kind of run. But then I was like, heck, maybe we're thinking about it wrong. At least for us, for that day, we were seeing it as a destination. And so I think that when you view a place as a destination, there are certain stakes involved that perhaps aren't when it's just a part of your journey. So if you think about most people that frequent this place, it is a stop along their journey, you know, and whether that be the truck route that they always drive for work or, you know, this family vacation that they take every year, it's just part of their travel narrative until they get to their destination. And so I think that there's something to be said about those parts of your travel narrative that remain the same over time, I think that you can appreciate a lot in terms of habit and expectations. And you and I even talked about in the onset of this episode about those truck stops that we remember stopping at as a kid. And what do we remember a lot? I mean, maybe the food, maybe some of the things that we saw there, but there's not a lot of weight there, and there doesn't need to be because it was just part of the trip, right? And it was just this pattern.
I think you're making a good point, too, because it seems like it's different for different people. You know what I mean? We asked people in the diner why they stop, and they looked at us like,
The food.
Because they were eating the food.
Right.
But I feel like if we would have asked somebody coming out of the bathroom, they'd be like, this is where I stop for my pit stop.
Yeah. You know? They got nice showers. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Or someone buying a Slurpee, they'd be like, because I was thirsty. Mm-hmm. It does depend on who you ask. But I think you're right. They're in the middle of their journey. A lot of them, they're in the middle of their journey. This is not their destination.
No, and so they don't pay a lot of thought to it, not in a disrespectful way, but you know, we're trying to find this like deeper meaning to it, but I don't know if there is one. Everybody who knows about it knows about it. They know where it is, where it falls in line with their trip, whether they're just going from mountain home to Boise or it's a longer vacation or a drive or something. But, you know, it's part of their trip. It's not their destination. And so maybe that's why we're feeling a little confused that day, because it was our destination for the day, but we weren't thinking about it in the right light.
Right.
What about you?
Yeah, it goes along the same thing. You know, I felt like I just couldn't quite figure out the orbit of the place. It felt like, and I actually said this to you, I think, as we were leaving, it felt like a really weird place that doesn't necessarily have a sense of humor about how weird it is.
Yes.
And I'll say, too, full disclosure, I did work for a software company in freight logistics for a couple years, and truck drivers, which we generally called owner-operators, we're one of the largest customer bases. Anyway, it's a really, really fragmented market, and I think that might be a part of it too. You know, something like 90% of the trucks on the road are run by these owner-operators, and there's no one way to describe them. They're blue-collar, sure, but they're blue-collar business owners, though, and they're all over the map, literally and figuratively. So maybe that's also kind of why we had a tough time figuring out the personality of the place. It's constantly changing as people come through it, you know, and they're on, like you said, they're on different parts of their journey, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. Still, it seems like a nether region or something like that.
It would have been different if they also acknowledged that it was like weird or quirky, but it was like so normal.
The puzzles. Yeah.
Yeah.
The boat hanging from the ceiling.
So then I left there feeling weird and quirky. Like maybe it's me. Maybe I don't fit in.
Yeah. Well, that's good. A good first field trip outside of town.
Yeah, I think we should do more.
Let's go to Buell, Burley.
I've never been.
Okay.
Okay. You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. And that was a goose on the roof. Thanks this week to all the people at Boise Stage Stop for showing us around and letting us explore a little bit.
Tantrums reach out to me from across oblivion.